turn to God's living word, shall we, as we look at that passage that I read out a little earlier, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, page 856 in the Pew Bibles, page 856. You'll find it helpful to have the Bible open in front of you. The theme of my sermon this morning is joy to those who feel low. I wonder if there have been times in your life when you felt low. I think I can guess that there isn't a single person here who at one time or another you just have felt really, really low, discouraged, depressed. There's nothing wrong in that. It happens to all of us. Every one of us feels low. When you go through the Bible, you find God's servants, God's greatest servants, have gone through very, very low periods. You think of the time when Elijah had to flee into the desert because he was threatened by Ahab and Jezebel. And Elijah goes into the desert and Elijah says to the Lord, "I want to die." You read about the time when Jonah feels so very low, although God used his preaching to save a large city of people, and yet Jonah felt low and says, "I want to die." You read about the time when Job feels really low in his spirit and he answers his so-called friends because they've come to so-called comfort him, but they only discourage him even more, and Job feels terribly low. You find in the New Testament, God's people feel low. They feel discouraged. I've been studying 2 Corinthians, Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, and Paul speaks about how he felt low. And he says, "But God comforted us so that we may comfort others with the same comfort that we receive from the Lord." Perhaps you feel low because you have health issues, and these always trouble us. Perhaps you feel low because there are family issues, children and grandchildren. And these, of course, come to us, don't they, very strongly. Perhaps you feel low because there are issues in your life at the moment that just make you feel so very low. Well, if that is your case, if you're feeling low today because whatever reason, I have good news for you. What I want to do this morning is to look at this song that Mary offered to the Lord in praise. And I want to show you why you can be encouraged. I want to show you that when you feel low, there are certain truths that you need to bring to your mind. Do you know this is how the Bible works? The Bible teaches us a whole lot of truths. We call them doctrine. That's just a technical word. The Bible teaches us a whole lot of truths. And those truths are very practical. Any doctrine, any theology that is not practical isn't truly from the Bible. The Bible's theology, the Bible's doctrinal teaching is always very practical. And God's people are to store these great truths in their hearts and minds. We're to grasp these great truths about who God is and who Christ is and what God has done for us in Christ and what it means to be saved. As Mike was saying, we sometimes feel low simply because we don't understand our salvation. Well, we are to understand our salvation. We're to understand what a great work of God this is in Christ. And we are to bring these things to mind. So when you feel low, don't give in to it, but fight it and say to yourself, "I mustn't feel low, but I'm going to fight these depressive thoughts and these discouraging thoughts and bring to your mind great truths that God has granted you in the scriptures." Do you know this is what the Bible teaches? I've often mentioned my favorite psalm in the Bible is Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Bless his holy name. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see what David is doing? David is saying, bring to your mind, bring to your remembrance the blessings that God has granted you. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then in that psalm, he lists the benefits or the blessings that God has granted him. He says, he forgives all your iniquities. He lifts you from the miry pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He restores you. And he blesses you with great joy. And through the psalm, you read about God's dealings with his people. He does not deal with us according to our sins. As far as the east is from the west, thus far has he removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so on, these great blessings. Well, this morning I want to bring to your attention some truths that are found in Mary's song. And the purpose is that you might see the blessings that God has granted you, and that this might lift you in your times of sorrow, in your times when you're feeling low and discouraged. I want to lift three things that Mary says, three verses that Mary says in this psalm, in this song of praise, and I want to apply them to you. Why is there joy to those who feel low? Well, the first reason why we must have joy when we feel low is because of this great truth. God is mindful of the lowest of people. God is mindful of the lowest of people. It says there in verse 48, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Now, that word "looked" doesn't just mean he has looked at something and then moved on to something else. You know, he's had a quick look at something and it has sort of registered with him, but it isn't really particularly important to him. And there are other more important things that he has gone on to. That is not what the word "looked" means. It means that he has taken account of, he has considered it, he has examined it in some detail. I've often said this from this pulpit. The Bible tells us God is not like man. And we must always remember this, that we human beings, we have a way of dealing with people. I mean, if you think, for example, of President Trump in the Oval Office in the White House. And I guess his advisors come into him and speak to him all the time. I'm told the Oval Office in the White House is like Piccadilly Circus. People are in and out all the time. Members of Congress, members of Senate, advisors, and people who want to consult him and so on. And you can imagine people coming and saying, "Well, Mr. President, there is this person and there are issues that this person has." And then somebody else comes, "Oh, Mr. President, there are these issues that this person has." And you can imagine people talking to him about people of all kinds. And I would guess that Mr. Trump sort of in his mind ranks the people that he's hearing about. And say one of his advisors comes and says, "The president of China, there are some issues there." He immediately thinks, "China, a major trading partner, one of the world's superpowers. Well, I'd better pay attention to this because the president of China, well, he's an important person." And somebody else comes and says, "The prime minister of Britain." And again, he thinks, "Special relationship, prime minister of Britain. I'd better think about this." But imagine then a third advisor comes and says, "Down in Mississippi, in a village in Mississippi, there's a lady there who's having some problems with her housing. And she has written saying, can we help?" And he says, "For goodness sake, I'm dealing with the president of China and the prime minister of Britain. You're talking to me about a lady in a village in Mississippi." Because that is how we human beings are, you see. We rank people and we say there are those who are important to us and we give attention to them and we think about them. And then there are those who are not really important to us. They don't matter. Somebody else can take care of them. But God is not like man. And when you read the Bible, you find throughout the scriptures this great truth, that God is mindful of the lowest of people, those who are in difficulty, those who are feeling discouraged and depressed, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, those who have health issues, those who have family issues. We find that God is mindful of them. that God doesn't just look upon them and then move on to more important things, but they are important to Him. These are the ones who are important to Him. And God considers them, and God looks into their situation, and God examines their situation, and God deals with their situation. If you think back to the book of Exodus and the land of Egypt, and in the land of Egypt, there were two groups of people. There were the Egyptians. Now at that time in history, Egypt was the mightiest kingdom, the richest kingdom on the face of this earth. Egypt had gone through a period in her history when there had been stability. There had been no war, there had been no civil war or anything like that. And the pharaohs had ruled well. And the nation had built a vast amount of wealth. And they had invaded surrounding nations and plundered those surrounding nations. So you had these Egyptians, these mighty, wealthy, powerful, important Egyptians. And in the same land, you had the Israelites. And the Israelites were the slaves. They were the lowest of the low. They were the despised people. And they were under a death threat because Pharaoh had determined to exterminate the Israelites. And there is one day Moses in the wilderness tending sheep. And he sees a burning bush, but the bush is not being consumed. So he says, I will go over and see this sight. And as he goes, God speaks to him from the burning bush. And God doesn't say to him, do you know, I've been looking at the Egyptians. And I've been looking at Pharaoh's palace, this magnificent palace, huge building. And I've been looking at all the wealth of the Egyptians, and I've been admiring all the gold artwork and all the pyramids that they've built and so on. And I've been admiring these important Egyptians. God never once mentions the Egyptians. God says to Moses, I have seen the trials of my people, and I have been moved by them, and I have decided to act. I have decided to come to their aid, and I'm going to use you, Moses, to bring them out of this low condition. Isn't that a wonderful picture of how God is mindful of the lowest of people, and how God speaks to them, and how God ministers to them, and how God brings them out of this low situation? And you find this throughout the Bible, that when God's people are in a low condition, God comes to them and comes to their aid. Mike quoted from Psalm 40, another one of my favorite psalms. And it is a lovely psalm because in Psalm 40, David speaks about God's great work for him. And this is what David says. He says, he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. David obviously had been through some difficulty. We don't know what it was. But he was obviously in some very great difficulty because he said, there was a time when I was in a miry bog, I was in the pit of destruction. Perhaps it was the time when Saul was chasing him through the wilderness of Judea, and Saul was determined to kill David, and David perhaps felt trapped. And Saul's great army was there, and David with his few men, and David thought, this is it, I've been cornered now. There was one incident like that we read about it in the Bible, that David was cornered, and it looked like all Saul had to do was move in with his army, and he would have killed David and all his army. And then news comes to Saul that the Philistines have invaded his land. So he has to take all his army to the front and fight the Philistines instead, and David escapes. Perhaps it was a situation like that. But David obviously felt very, very low. He says, I was in the pit of destruction. I was in a miry bog. But he says, He pulled me out of this. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Next time you feel very low, next time you feel depressed, discouraged, you just feel absolutely terrible, I'm saying to you, remember certain things and bring those things to mind. And remember this, that as you are there in your low condition, God isn't ignoring you. God isn't saying, I've got more important people to deal with. You are important to Him. There is none more important than you, because you're a child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. Christ died for you. Christ has purchased you with His own blood. How can there be more important people than you? The greatest price that could ever be paid for a human being has been paid for you. We saw in that list of the description of salvation, redeemed, brought out of slavery. How? By the blood of Jesus. He shed His blood that we might be redeemed. Christ gave His life for you. How can you say, I don't matter to God? If you didn't matter to God, would Christ have died for you? Reason it with yourself like that, you see. This is what you need to do when you're in a difficult situation. Reason to yourself and say, I do matter to God. I am important to God. God is my Father. I'm His child. I matter to Christ. Christ came into this world specifically for me. Christ gave His life for me. He had my name on His lips. He had my name on His heart when He hung upon that cross. It was my sins, specifically my sins, that were laid upon Him. And He died for my sins. And say to yourself, yes, I'm in this low position, but God isn't ignoring me. And God isn't sitting in heaven having a go at me saying, oh, you're depressed again. For goodness sake, what's the matter with you? We'll snap out of it. God isn't saying any of that. He is your loving Father. And His heart is filled with love and mercy and compassion towards you. And God is mindful of the lowest of His people. You heard last week about Mary, this ordinary girl. I know that some so-called Christians have made great things of Mary. They're not in the Bible. The Bible presents to us Mary as a very ordinary person, just one of us. And yet Mary is able to say, He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. Because God is mindful of the lowest of people. But there's a second thing in this song that we need to be mindful of when we feel low. And this is a second thing that we find in the scriptures. God not only is mindful of the lowest of people, but God has done great things for the lowest of people. You see what she goes on to say in the next verse, verse 49. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. It's one thing to be mindful. You know, you might say, well, there's a person in need, a person in a desperate condition, and I'm mindful of them. That's lovely. Praise God for that. I often get a text or a phone call saying, I've been thinking about you today. And I praise God for that. But you see, with God, it is more than just being mindful. Because just being mindful in and of itself actually doesn't do anything for our situation. You know, if I'm totally discouraged and somebody says, I've been thinking about you today. Well, that's brilliant, but I'm still discouraged. But you see, with God, He always backs up His promises with action. And so here is this tremendous verse. And notice the contrast. She has spoken in verse 48 about those of the humble estate. And here He speaks about the one who is mighty. There's a contrast here. The one who is low in a humble estate. The one who is mighty. And she says, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." This is going back to what David says in Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he speaks about the benefits that God has granted him. The next time you are low, take hold of a piece of paper and a pen. Do this. Make yourself do this. And write down the blessings that God has given you. Write down the fact that God has elected you before the foundation of the world. God chose you before the foundation of the world that you should be his child. God set his love upon you before the foundation of the world. God gave you to the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and God charged the Lord Jesus Christ to secure your salvation. God sent his Son into the world for you. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for you. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect, obedient life, pleasing to God for you. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. God the Father raised his Son from the dead for you. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and is today seated at the right hand of the Father for you as your great high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ poured out his Holy Spirit for you. The Holy Spirit came to live in you that he might transform you into the image of Christ. All these great works that God has done for you. Meditate on them. Don't just lie in the dust and be full of self-pity and just, "Oh, life is terrible, life is terrible." That's easy to do. But we have to remember the great works of God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Remember the great works of God for you. Because you are special, you do matter. And God is your Father who loves you. And he has done great things for you. So that's the second reason why those who feel low have every reason to be joyful. Firstly, because God is mindful of the lowest of people. Secondly, because God has done great things for the lowest of people. And then the third thing is this: God has greatly blessed the lowest of people. God has greatly blessed the lowest of people. Mary says in verse 52, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." So you have again a contrast here. The humble estate, the person who is low, but she says God has exalted him or her. God has raised that person. That's what the word exalted means. God has raised that person to a situation far above what they were. And this is again a great thing we need to do when we feel low. Put down the wonderful benefits that you've enjoyed from the works of Christ. This is what David does in Psalm 103. He forgives all your iniquity. I wonder if you ever meditated on the wonder of forgiveness. It's something we speak about all the time, and I think we lose something of its true wonder. We who were great sinners, we who knew nothing but sin, indeed we who loved sin and lived in rebellion. And then God comes to us in Christ, and God convicts us of our sin, and God applies the works of the Lord Jesus to us, and all our sins are forgiven. You know, when you die and you will stand before God, he won't bring up any of your sins. He won't say, "Well, there is still this matter, and there is still this matter. No. Every sin has been forgiven. Every sin has been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Every sin has been hurled to the bottom of the ocean. Every sin has been paid for. Christ paid a full penalty, a total penalty, a complete penalty for all all the sins of his people. You are a forgiven person. You therefore have a sure hope of heaven. This is not the kind of hope that the people in the world have. Well, let's hope it all works out okay, but I'm not sure. That's not the hope we have. The hope we have is, I know that I know that I know that when I die, I will be with God in Christ, God and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. And I know that there will be no sin there. And I know that I will enjoy his love and his mercies. And my heart will rejoice with praise. And I will love him as I ought to. This love relationship between God and his children in heaven. Perfect, no hindrance from sin, nothing to spoil it. That is a real hope, a true hope that all Christians have. Meditate on that. The great blessings that God has given to the lowest of his people. Meditate on the fact that you were once a slave of sin and Christ shed his blood to bring you out of that slavery. Meditate on the fact that you were once unclean, undesirable, and removed from God, alienated from God. And the blood of the Lord Jesus has washed you. And the blood of the Lord Jesus has reconciled you to the Father. And you today are no longer unclean, but you've been cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Once again, that word was there in the family talk. You're no longer alienated, but you are now you've now adopted into God's family, reconciled to the Father. You know, this is why the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing we have been given in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is why those who are the lowest of the low, those who feel low, depressed, discouraged, and so on. Well, here are reasons why you have every reason to be joyful. God is mindful of the lowest of people. God has done great things for the lowest of people. And God has greatly blessed the lowest of people. Praise God for his grace and mercy.